you know, just in those few statements of Jesus that we heard read to us, of course, written by a prophet who lived long before his birth. If we were listening, we heard how Jesus would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Prince of Peace. And then another term, which we may not be familiar with, even though we just sang, which is Emmanuel, which is this powerful idea of God with us, God among us, God dwelling here with us. Later when John would write about Jesus' life, he called Jesus the light. In fact, in the opening of his gospel, the fourth verse of chapter 1, we see that John writes that in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men, saying the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just a few sentences later, if we continue in John, we read that this light, Jesus, gives to all who believe in him the right to be called children of God. So many of these wonderful names, Emmanuel, Counselor, Prince of Peace, if you think about it, they make sense within this description of Jesus' light. Light is what chases darkness away, just as Emmanuel, God with us, can chase the darkness of isolation. Jesus, the Counselor, chases off the darkness of our pain. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, I don't know about you, but I long for peace, chases the darkness of violence. John's simple description of Jesus as the light of the world conveys so very much. And for many years, certainly longer than our lifetimes in the church, there's been a tradition of this season of Advent, which we've been celebrating, which Advent is this word which speaks of anticipation and the visitation of Jesus, where we light these candles for the last 4 weeks that represent things such as hope and joy and love. And then tonight, we light the center candle, which is referred to as the Christ candle. And it's this reminder to us that Jesus, one of the simplest expressions of who Jesus is that Jesus is, in the truest sense, the light. Now, this idea of God's light in the darkness of our broken world was also spoken of 100 years earlier by one of those who we heard read from tonight, Isaiah, who, looking forward to what God would do in Jesus, wrote, "I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." And later, Isaiah wrote that God's restoration of his people in this light, saying, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." The story of Jesus is the story of God invading darkness with the goodness of his light. Now, if you need convincing that there's darkness within the world, I might suggest that when we're done here, you go do some last-minute shopping tonight. We had a little emergency where we were missing some batteries for our sound equipment tonight. So just before service tonight, I got a frenzied trip over to Walmart. And I can tell you that even at Walmart, there's darkness. But isn't it true that whether it's, you know, in the news or wherever, we're inundated with images of hatred, of fear, of arrogance, of discontent, of brokenness, just this pervasive anger in so many places. Some days it feels like that's all I hear about. We know there's darkness in the world in this very moment. And I realize in a room with as many as we have here tonight that it's probably painfully true that some of us, tonight or tomorrow, are going to experience darkness even among our own families as we jockey around and try to deal with some tensions just to celebrate Christmas together. We know also that darkness so often causes us to long for light. Again, in a room like this, I would imagine that almost every one of us have experienced dark, dark moments in our lives where we just long for light to invade those places. Years ago, our family lived in Seaside, and I remember a Columbus Day storm, President's Day storm, sorry, that came. And it swept in the evening. I believe to this day it's still the most powerful storm that's hit the northern part of the West Coast. We had hurricane force winds for like 36 hours. But I remember it kicking up in the evening, and We're kind of getting ready for this serious storm. I think it clocked 141 mile an hour winds or something on a hill outside of town. And so these winds start whipping. I'd been at my next door neighbor's house putting cinder blocks to try to help his messed up roof, you know, ride out the storm. We didn't know how our house would do. And the wind starts whipping and it's louder and it's louder. And then somewhere in the evening, we were watching transformers go off like fireworks and everything went dark. And when everything went dark, it got scarier. I remember hearing these really loud noises. I wouldn't know until the light of the morning that it was actually our next door neighbor's roof getting torn off of his house. I remember hearing our house actually moving in the wind and wondering if windows were going to go. I remember in the middle of the night turning to Jen and saying, not if, but when our, you know, house starts coming apart, where are we going to go with the kids? In the dark, it's just scarier. And we long for the light just so we can make sense of what's even going on in the storms of our lives. And with light so often comes hope that we can get through. Micah wrote of this very desire hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, saying, "When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. He will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness." He knew what he was waiting for in his darkness, for God to bring forth light. And John records Jesus simply saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light. And in a world with far too much darkness, the question arises, how do you and I know that we have the light of Jesus within us? John later would write these words to fellow Jesus followers, saying, "Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness." Suggesting it's possible that we could say and even think that we're in the light, but still be ruled by hatred and have hatred taking lead within our own hearts. It's evidence of a darkness that still exists. So this is a really uncomfortable question on Christmas Eve, but I'll ask it because I care. Do you have hatred in your heart tonight? Seems like kind of a silly, weird question on Christmas Eve, but it's a serious one. Do you have hatred in your heart tonight? Now, hatred, I'll point out, doesn't mean that you want to go kill someone. Hatred can simply be that we've devalued those around us, that we've written them off, or perhaps we're holding some hostage to some perceived offense. The darkness of hatred can take so many sneaky forms within our own lives. And just as darkness is the absence of light, it could be said that hatred is simply the absence of love. So as we celebrate the birth of light, the birth of love, the birth of hope, the birth of the Prince of Peace, the Counselor, the King of Kings, the question is, do I have hatred in my heart tonight? And if I do, if I recognize it, what am I to do about it? Well, John actually addresses this question for us, and he says this. He says, "This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Jesus, the light of the world, is faithful and just, not only to forgive us of our darkness, our sin, but also to cleanse us of it as we confess it to him and put our hope and trust upon him. Jesus, the light of the world, can chase darkness from within our lives and transform us in the process. The words of Jesus himself, he said this to his followers, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and hide it under a bowl, but they place it on a stand, so it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus is the light of the world, who removes the darkness of hatred and sin and brokenness from our lives, in its place offering freedom and forgiveness. When we come to him in faith, this transformation Jesus works in us allows us to somehow carry this light, to become the light of the world, as he's within us, with his goodness now pointing others through our actions towards God the Father. And so in just a few moments, we're going to do something that's a tradition here at North Park on Christmas Eve. We're gonna light all these candles. Actually, we're going to have a couple of our younger folks come up in just a moment while some music's playing, and they're going to light those and get them ready for us. But these candles, as we hold them and we'll sing together, represent the light of Jesus Christ at work within us. We'll be invited to come to take a candle, and we're going to make a circle around the room the best we can. I'd invite you, as we do that tonight, if for whatever reason you have difficulty coming up to get a candle, just sit where you are and someone will bring one to you. But we are together going to sing, holding these candles, recognizing that we're called as followers of Jesus to be the light of the world, and recognize that we look at one another, that perhaps if we look closely, we can see Christ shining through our neighbors and our friends as well. As we do this together tonight, I would invite you to consider where hatred or darkness might be in your life. And as an act of faith, as a prayer perhaps, to invite God's light, Jesus Christ, to come and rid you of that darkness, to fill you with his light of love, and to use your light to shine his goodness to others. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to invite our candlelighters to come up and do their thing. And when we're ready, we'll bring people up by rows so you can grab a candle, and we'll move from the middle up to the front, out around the circle, and then we're going to sing together. But let me pray for us. Father, I pray tonight that amidst our various family traditions or whatever things we maybe are feeling in the back of our head we still need to get home and get done, God, would you help us to recognize that while it is very true that we live in a world that's dark, we don't have to look far to see that. There's this amazing promise, this reality spoken of in Scripture, that in Jesus is the light of the world. And God, there's this almost seemingly impossible statement that Jesus makes, that somehow that light can be in us, to where we, as his followers, also can be lights in the world. Father, we come before you tonight, and we want to hold before you with transparency and honesty the places we recognize are dark within us. God, we want to admit those to you, and we want to ask, even as we do, that through Jesus Christ, you would invade those places, even within our own hearts, with your light. That you would transform us, God, that we would be able to truly reflect your goodness, reflect the light of Christ in the way we live. We ask you to be at work within us. God, we just thank you so much for the purpose that we gather tonight, that you, the light of the world, invaded our story, that Jesus came ultimately to offer his life in our place, that we could be forgiven of our sins and find a life of purpose and value, and in fact be invited to join with you in your work of reconciling the world. We are so grateful. And God, we simply ask that your light would continue to invade us where it's needed, and that it would reflect through us as we seek to follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.